Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for waiting. You're welcome to the audio conference from Sanepar, the sanitation company from Paraná, to listen to the results from the third quarter of 2020. This presentation may have future considerations that refer to the business prospects, estimates of operating and financial results, and growth prospects. There are only projections, and such are based solely on Sanepar's management expectations regarding the future of the business and its continued access to capitals in order to finance the company's business plan. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. Such forward-looking statements substantially depend on changes in market conditions, government rules, the performance of the industry and the Brazilian economy, among other factors. In addition to the risks presented in the disclosure documents filed by Sanepar and are therefore subject to change without prior notice. All participants will only listen to the presentation. Once it's finished, we will start the Q&A for up to 30 minutes. To begin, we will now pass on the mic to Abel Demetra. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. So here with us is Fabiane Queiroz, our RE manager, our whole team, our accounting manager, Anton Neves. We also have San Bernardo and our financial director, William Gibalitz. So moving on to our performance results presentation up to September 2020. So let's go to the third page with the highlights. Comparing the first 9 months of 2020 to the same period of 2019, the financial indicators in the following growth: 5.3 net revenue growth, EBITDA plus 3.3%, and net profit growth 1.6%. So we have water for 100%, sewage 74.7%, EBITDA increase grew from 1.340 to 1385.2. We had also as a highlight the issue of PAI, the incentive retirement program, which we acted on 534 employees. 127.8 million was invested, and the payback would take about 11.4 months. We also had the pleasure to receive the Transparency Trophy for accounting operations in 2019. Let's talk about our operational results. For water, our billed volume went down 0.7%, even with the savings growing by 2.1% compared the first 9 months of 2020 to 2019. So our measure volume and our bill volume of sewage went up by 0.3%, and the whole savings went up by 1.3%. So we closed from July, August, and September. The last trimester, we had very good 0.41% in July, August 0.5%. And they accumulated 2.9%. So we reduced the initial expectation in COVID, of course, that there would be less payments. But it went very well. So we had 224.7 in 2020. We had compared to 232. In 2019, so we had a reduction of 3.1% for the operation efficiency. Talking about the drought in Paraná, slide 5, we had a very dry month in August, a very dry period. In August, we had a little bit more, but still very low. In Paraná, in August, we started monitoring because using the same system that was used for the droughts in the Northeast. So we had a very severe drought that really affected the whole of the state. In page 6, we had the rainfall precipitation in millimeters in Curitiba since October 2019 until September 2020. From February to March, we had 4 months where the rains were much below what was forecast. July was a good month. July wasn't so. July, then August was good, and September was bad. But the rainfall that started in July and August, when we go to page 7, they helped us keep our reservoir levels in 29.75%, including all the 4 reservoirs that we have here. So after 1 month and a half, in the third trimester, we have the same volumes of reservoir. So things improved, but we still are having a drought in the metropolitan region especially. So page 8, the performance indicator, so the covenants, what we have here, all the debentures in the market. We have a good amount here for the net bank debt, and also the net financial coverage so things are going well. We have, some space to breathe, room to breathe, and also looking here with the BNDES, the contracts with Caixa. We have all the covenants that are fine. No problems with that. Performance indicators, so the ratios. If we look here at the contracts, comparing every month, so the ratio of that service, it's gone up. And also we have all the ratios that went up. The ROE actually went up. We have our financial performance, net revenue. It went up 5.3% and got to 3.5 billion. EBITDA went up to 1.3 billion, so plus 3.3%. The net profit and net margin, it went above 69 million in 2019 and went up to 700 million. In 2020, with a variation 9.8%. Also, the operation costs and expenses went over 2.2 billion and went up to 2.178 billion. So, the variation was 6.6% in increase. The financial report, you can see the cash generation, which reached 1.325 billion, a variation of 25.5%. The net debt and leverage went up by 1.2 times because of the incentivated release that we had. And in our result, this is already in our result, but it hasn't been fully included that, and also the installments that we are paying for taxes and contributions for the government. So we got an increase that to allow us to pay. So our net debt and leverage, we have here in the short term 2.7 and then 2.8. So we have here 3.665, the total debt. We started the year with 2.7, so we have 2.7 billion, which is a leverage of 1.3 times, and 1.4 we had in 2019. Our weighted average cost of debt, it's 7.9%. Our capex for the first 9 months of the year, 705 million with a loan that we had, but this has to do with pandemic and all the supply chain. So we had problems with delivering materials. This is common. We are seeing all through the economy. Page 12, let's talk about the specific. As we can see, the net revenue went down 1.6% in the trimester. and the costs and expenses went up 11.4% in the trimester. So, of course, we had more expenses and we had 396 million. We had a register of PIE from 100 million. And because of this effect, instead of growing 42%, we grew 2.16%. So the same costs and expenses, as you can see, would have gone down if it wasn't for all the effects that have happened. Our net result, 132 million, so an increase in 6.2% compared to 2019. In page 13, let's talk about this 9 months. We've seen here that the issue of personnel had a huge impact to this program PIE in materials, especially the treatment materials. We have a 30.9% volume over what we did last year, and safety materials for COVID went up as well. When we think about the third-party services, it went up 6.8%. Then, of course, the professional services, civil work, environment, all the expenses that we've had. We had the financial expenses, which also because we moved it on to third-party. And freights, we also had a variation because of the hydric crisis. And also we needed to deliver more water trucks to many residences and public services. So, and Fazenda Rio Grande, we had an accident with Transpetra, which also we needed to use the water trucks a lot of times. Relating to financial expenses, we had also variations in income tax and social contribution, 3.6%, which has, of course, to do with the revenue that we had in the last year. So that was a good growth. So thinking about the other costs and expenses, because of a new evaluation that we had from the Act, the expenses and income. So we are 3.6% above last year. We had a huge growth in the cash flow. Plus we had all the investments that we had and loans. So that shows also in our result. We also had in provisions an increase in 11.7%. The reference of the 9 months in 2019 were very high, the historical reference. And 2018, we had more than 2 billion, and now we had to change. Last year, it was 85 million. And now it will went back to a more normal standard. And in the third trimester, we had an increase in all the environmental issues because of IBAMA, which was consolidated our debt, referring to the exploration of all the area. And this was updated by CEDIC. So, related to now our non-recurring effect, we had provisions for bills to receive in the trimester, and also the estimative for expected losses because of COVID. It's also here in this, we put it here as well. We also had a legal issue that we had to pay, which was 36 million, so that also added. Our result in 9 months, which got to 4 million, more than 4 million. So we had an increase from last year. Page 14, which I think is very self-explaining. We have the results, the non-recurring effect. So in 2020, we had a registration of 243,640,000. And when we look now, it's 127 million. Comparing the margin to IBI-TTA with the non-recurring effect in the third quarter, it would be 44%. And in the first 9 months of 2020, it went up. In page 15, we can see the adjustment of the non-manageable items, electricity, treatment materials, fees, and charges. And our EBITDA was adjusted from 1,385,000. With the non-manageable items, we had 1.464 million, and the margin was 41.4%. Now let's talk about our balance sheet. Our main things that had a more impactful, which were financial investments because of the increase in liquidity in the company. We have all this turbulence from the hydric crisis and COVID, so we had an increase. The loan financing and debentures, we also grew 19%, and we reached 3,664,388, so 19% variation. When we think about accounts receivable from customers, we grew 81% because we had to pay for this incentivized leaving program that they had. So it went up to 334 million in 2020. Our operational capital went up, and then on page 17, let's talk a little bit about our cash flow. As you can see here, the 1,048,000,000 was generated. Our investment activities took 706,499,000. Our financial activities with loans and financing and dividend payments and other accounts brought to the company 70,952,000. So we had an increase in 689,322,000 in our cash flow. So we went to 963,381,000 in the first 9 months of 2020. So basically, these are the numbers of the first 9 months of the trimester, and the main accounts that impacted was the hydric crisis, with Curitiba having a campaign for reduction of consumption for us to go through this very dry period, and this registration called PAI for people to retire. And people will be able to leave from September 30th. It still started. People that really want their retirement from this program. So at this stage, that's where we are. I thank you all. There was still, thank you, Leila Lúcia, and also Dissolace, which is our environment manager. Thank you very much. So Juliana will continue now. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll start now the Q&A session, which will be done via phone. To ask a question, please dial star nine. Our first question comes from Mrs. Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. I have two questions. You commented about the hydric situation in the state. First of all, I would like you to remind us how is the rotation in the metropolitan area in Curitiba. and whether you have any plan to increase this rotation or to change this program. What can we see? What changes can we see? And also considering that the forecast seems to have La Niña, do you already have in mind what alternative you will have to guarantee the supply during summer, considering that La Niña could cause even higher problems with drought? So do you already have a contingency plan that you can share with us? Thank you for the question, Carolina. I will pass this issue on to our environmental manager, Dr. Julio, and he will explain to you about the rotation in the metropolitan region in Curitiba and what's going to happen in the future regarding La Niña. Good morning, everyone. As you mentioned, the phenomenon La Niña has been confirmed about 30 to 40 days ago, and we realized this phenomenon. And the negative issues is that the phenomenon has increased, intensified. So our first forecast that we would have just a spring with below average rains, but now we're also worried about the summer that it might be under average as well. So even being under average for spring and summer, we're a little bit less worried because they are rainier months and you will have a rain volume that should guarantee the supply with some kind of tranquility for us during spring and summer. We are much more worried and focusing in the next period, autumn and winter next year. The forecast of La Niña is that fall and winter, the forecasts are that it will normalize in the rain distribution. So if this happens, it will also allow us to go through this time without major problems and bigger problems than we've seen so far. The situation of the rotation in the metropolitan area in Curitiba, we have a protocol. We establish it in four levels of rotation. So when the reservoir are over 60% with normal rains or over average, you don't have a rotation, or you would only have a rotation when there is a distribution problem or a network problem, some maintenance problem. So with 60% of rains in average, we would have a rotation of 24 hours without supply, 12 with retake, and 3.5 days of normal supply. With reservoirs below 60%, with rains under average, we would have a rotation, which we call C, where we have 24 hours with no supply, 12 hours of retake, and at least 36 hours of full supply, which is the situation that we're going through right now. November had good amount of rains. Our reservoirs are closer to 30%. We got to 26.9, and now we're close to 30%. If the rains don't happen, then we will have to have a stronger rotation of up to 48 hours without supply and 24 hours with supply. So statistically, this rotation it won't happen at least until the end of November because we had rains at the beginning of the month. The trend, the forecast of rains are good for this week. And this trend should be hopefully kept away from us, hopefully until the end of the summer. But we are still having rotation. It has helped us to reduce our losses. And the population has reached a 20% ratio of savings, home savings, which for us was a huge factor in 3 months of campaign of our goal, 20 goal. We got to it, 20%. The population and the media in the metropolitan region have been very helpful, very favorable. They have understood how important the situation is and what huge amount of droughts we are having. I hope that I have been able to answer you. Yes, you did. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Mr. Gabriel Francisco from XP Investments. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. I'm still talking about the hydric issue. What is the progress of the new new deal with the Mininguava? And you hope that it will soon be ready to have the supply back again. So what is the issue with the dam? How is it going? So are there any updates relating the increase, the rates increase? And also keeping in mind how, unfortunately, the process this year was, we want to know how is the company preparing for the fee average for next year? Have you been talking to anybody? Have you been discussing this process of the changes in fees for next year? Thank you, Gabriel, for your questions. I'm going to answer them here about the fees review. Yes, we are in the process of seeking the index, the ratio for increase, for fee increase. We are waiting for the bodies to approve so that we can have this. We are talking to the regulation bodies for us to review the tariffs. The regulator, we talked to it last month, and they established some cycles to establish the tariff review for 2021, and they have demanded the company, they have asked us many questions about assets, about expenses. So all the information that it needs to, let's say, start to elaborate the tariff review, that should happen in 2021. The act that they published, they say that it has a plan for it to be ready by April next year, and so that this tariff will be published in April, so that they can start in May 17th, 2021. So we can see that they are understaffed, but they are evolving in the issue of discussing the many stages of the tariff review. But, of course, it has started recently, and it takes on a lot of effort. But we have demanded them to their best efforts from the review board. And it's a difficult thing to do, but they have a lot of work. But they are doing this tariff review, which is a long process. So we can see there is a huge effort from our side. We are trying our best, and we think the important news is that things are moving forward. Relating to the dam of Uruguava, let's have an update here. Good morning, Gabriel. With the dam at Mininguava, we have the everything is moving forward. Our initial plan was to conclude the first phase of the work in December, but the rains in that area, which is very humid because it's very protected, It has a very preserved nature, so it brings a lot of humidity to the region. As the dam is mainly based on land movement, it's a little bit hard for us to find the ideal humidity for it to be safe, this dam to be safe. So the forecast is that at every day that it rains, we get one day extra day for execution. So this due date of December is now moved to March 2021. But such a big dam is not exclusively done from the civil work that we are doing there. You have to remove fauna, flora, you have to build new accesses to the region, new roads. So this takes a little bit longer. And our expectation is that we will have everything not 100% ready, but that we could start using the dam for some kind of reservoir from the second semester of 2021. Of course, the company can't, it's not really holding the recovery of the hydro crisis just because of the dam. We will have, of course, to fill it up, and we will need to have water in the basins as well, the contribution basins, not just in the springs and the fountains. You know, it doesn't depend just on us, but we are taking on other actions in the regions, especially in the region of Curitiba, the metropolitan region. We're taking on other actions with other kinds of work that we are doing, smaller work that we are doing, but that will actually guarantee that we will have a supply for this region. That was great. It was very clear to me. Sorry, just one more doubt here. So you're doing this, taking on these additional actions in the metropolitan region of Curitiba with wells and other things, but it wasn't very clear to me the issue of the tariff adjustment for 2021. Could you just talk a little bit about that? This is my final question. No problem, Gabriel. You can ask as many questions as you want. Facing the readjustments for 9.62%, we asked for the government intervened, and GEPAR, which has legal competence for this mediation, they started mediation, and we decided on a date for us to work on this. The government had 5 days to talk about this. Then they passed it on to us. We are answering all these issues, so we're just waiting for the governance to provide all this. So, as we've decided, the management of GEPAR has decided about the readjustment of the fees of our tariffs. And we understand that in November, December, we should get some evolution regarding this issue. We don't have a full answer yet. We have evolved a lot, moved forward, but hopefully in December we should have a solution from GEPAR relating to these tariffs. Gabriel, relating to the other additional actions that we are taking, there are many actions being taken, even within distribution that we have here in Curitiba, where the interventions happen within the operational area itself. Transference of water from one region to another, where there is a bigger problem. We're also implementing some new piping for this transference. But the issue with the funds and so on, we had some transpositions of some rivers that has brought us an important increased amount of water. we are negotiating with Petrobras for us to revert so that we can have a better flow rate, and then we can revert water from their reservoir into our system. So in that way, we won't need to move the water so far off. Other actions are also being studied. I'm not going to talk about them yet because it wouldn't make sense. This is still being developed. But I can guarantee you that we are 100% focused on minimizing the hydric crisis and to sell the product that we want to, which is water, of course. That's perfect. That was very clear. Thank you so much. Our next question comes from Mr. Anderson Menezes from Alkin Result. Hello, everyone. Thank you for everything. Things are very clear. Now let's talk a little bit about growth, thinking about long term. What is the participation in trying to get other municipalities, which other, you know, biddings? How is that happening with Ponta Grossa, Cascavel, Toledo, that it's part of your income nowadays? Can you tell us a little bit about this participation and what are the long-term plans? What can we expect? Thank you for the question, Anderson. Yes, this issue is very important and strategic for the company, not just for Sanepar, for the whole water sector. You know, there are still things being analyzed in Congress. But we've had at least three biddings, Maceió and Metropolitan Region, Alecita in Espírito Santo and Sanesu, and the company has followed this up. The issue of Alagoas, we had a bidding, the participation, we analyzed all the numbers, we evaluated the operation. We didn't join the bidding process itself, but we followed up on it to see what our appetite for it would be. Sanesu, we've been following up very closely. They are our neighbors. And yes, I think that the company, considering it has new laws, new legislation, and it can look for new markets outside of Paraná State. This was already allowed, but now the law has come in and even allows to for us to do it abroad. So we are keeping our eyes open, looking at opportunities that may come up in Paraná or outside the Paraná state. Within Paraná, we have contracts, and our priority, of course, is Paraná. But the company is open to new scenarios and looking for good business. Of course, without, you know, throwing money away, but we've been following up a lot of these things. I can't really talk about the strategies yet, but we are following up. We're interested to what's happening in the sector and how we can be part of it. Our next question comes from Mr. Arthur Pereira from Bank of America. Good morning. I would like to ask two questions. First of all, talking about the operational side, looking at the result of 2020, something that I noticed was the PLR line that went down 44% compared to 2019, especially because a change in the third quarter. Is there any plan for adjustment in the third quarter going with the historical levels? And also a little bit about what has been talked about this review, this tariff. There was a consultation of Shepard about the methodology of the asset base. And the company has presented some questions and some suggestions. So mainly with the Shepard proposal of opening the numbers, how does the company see the possibility? Can they increase the regulatory risk? And how has been this, how have these dealings with the agency been so far? Well, the participation in the results, yes, we provide them do, of course, based on our historic data from 5 years, and we had a complement of this with the annual numbers that we provided. Things that interfere in our PLR have been already done. Relating to the issue of the regulatory agency, it has a methodology from the asset base. The company also contributed. People have contributed to this public overtake of suggestions. The issue of the asset base was also opened again. And for us, it's a possibility. It's not a need. It's not a guarantee of what Japan is going to do in the future with these odd numbers. In our clear understanding, there is a right of the agency to do it, but there is a cost to create this asset base. And also the way that it's been calculated, the asset base has been raised. We are not very worried because, you know, the asset base was raised as a very qualified company, known countrywide. And our perspective is, of course, to have similar numbers to what we had before. So this is the direction the company is following up. Our regulatory team is always talking to the regulatory agency. We have a very proactive issue. They are also planning and doing all these regulatory issues for next year. They are also studying the environment, and they are establishing some rules and criteria, which the company plans to, of course, contribute to. And I would say things are moving on well. Our relationship with Injapar is going great. Their team is very well prepared. They have new directors, people that have been brought to Sanepar. And I see things moving very well with the regulatory agency. We had a period when we didn't have such a close relationship, and we didn't have so much relations with them. But now we are all very engaged for the tariffs for next year. And Agepar has recognized as well that there was some delay in the beginning, and now they have to run after the time they lost. But we are moving, and we are having a lot, working very hard. Our team for regulatory issues have been reinforced for us to supply the demands that have come from Japan. So things are moving well. Thank you. Thinking about this public consultation of basic sanitation, from the consultation that was open there, we can discuss all possibilities of adding in the tariffs any costs, limit a part of the income, or even exclude it. But this cost was one of the main discussion points in the readjustment of 2019, the 12% that has been questioned. So what's the plan? Are you going to do that as a percentage of income, 4%, that is passed on to the municipal fund, or keep the total recognition of this cost, which might be signed as part of contracts and therefore are not non-manageable? Well, as we understand it, the sanitation, municipal sanitation fund is important for people, of course, to have sanitation. It was created in the municipality and is guarded by law and established, but what's established in a contract, the man, the company can't really have any margin on managing those payments. They have to do the, we have to do the payments. So our proposal, our defense will always be in the fact that it's a non-manageable part of the business. And of course, what the part can do, we can limit the percentual rate of income from each municipality. I think it's a healthy, so that it won't be, the tariffs won't get much higher. And I think Agepar will go through this line, which will be rational. you limit the percentage of municipal fund with scale, of course, using a scale. Some municipalities are non-profitable, and then you add more costs, it's even less profitable than municipality. So they need additional criteria. From the company side, we keep searching for it to be recognized and as an A parcel. We can't really manage this payment from the municipal fund. Is it clear to you? Do you have? No, it was very clear. Thank you very much. Reminding you to ask a question or comment, please dial *9. Our next question is from Mr. Artel Meirelles. Good morning. I am a shareholder, and I would like to know if the government will pay an updated rate. This has been updated by the regulatory agency, and the Paraná government has blocked this readjustment. So our income has gone down, our profit, but the government is thinking about the political issues from this measure, but it's actually affecting the asset holders. So the company has shareholders, and you have to obey what the government says. So, and we are having a loss as shareholders. So the reports of the analysts are saying that there is a bad governance of the company, independently from what the government determines, and the shareholders end up being harmed. What measures are you taking to avoid this? Well, thank you for the question. What has happened is an opening of mediation proposed by the state government, but the legal competence of this to determine the tariff is AGEPAR. The company, this the administration of the company, seeks for the shareholders' interest, of course, to preserve what the regulatory body establishes. So the company keeps seeking for that income, for that revenue, but we ended up not having the tariff readjustment. So last year, the accounts tribunal had a new measure that only allowed a readjustment, a partial readjustment, and this has shown us that this they should have allowed us the full tariff, which was approved by the regulatory agent, and they recognized this right that we had, and then eventually we were able to do it. So within the regulatory rights, we had the right to adjustment established, and also what we had, the problems that we had because of their changes were also passed on and approved to the company. So we are having open mediation by people who are very competent, which is the regulatory agency in Paraná, and the company is trying their best to look for their rights and following up on what's been established by the agency. In the Paraná state, this is legal. And this money that will be paid back to the shareholders, will it be for the same amount that has been blocked? So this will be done by the government agency due to the database, according to what the regulatory agency says. Well, they said it should happen from 31st of October onwards. but we knew we were going to have a delay from May to October, that the agency said this would be considered in the next tariff review. So independently from that, we already had problems caused by COVID, very extreme problems that had never been seen before. I had never seen anything as serious that had happened with the federal government providing benefits to companies for cash flow and paying tariffs. And of course, obviously, this contingency issue that happened because of this very serious disease, the limit, the date was then passed on to October 31st. Of course, the agency had already established that this reflected on everything that was happening and that they would reanalyze it in the next tariff review. So they will review it and do it and establish how these amounts of money that we would have to pay because of the non-application of the readjustment and how they're going to do it. Reminding you that to ask a question or make a comment, please dial *9. To ask a question or make a comment, please dial *9. Reminding you that to ask a question or make a comment, please dial *9. To ask a question or make a comment, please dial *9. Should you need to ask a question or make a comment, please dial *9. Reminding you that to ask a question or to make a comment, please dial *9. Should you want to ask a question or make a comment, please dial *9. Just reminding you that to ask a question or make a comment, please dial *9. reminding you that to ask a question or make a comment, please dial star 9. To ask a question or make a comment, please dial star 9. Reminding you that to ask a question or make a comment, please dial star 9. Reminding you that to ask a question or make a comment, please dial star 9. Should you want to ask a question or make a comment, please dial star 9. Reminding you that to ask a question or make a comment, please dial star 9. To ask a question or make a comment, please dial star 9. We're closing the question and answer, so now we're going to pass on the word to Abel Demetri for his final considerations. We'd like to thank you all for being here, for participating in this event, and we hope that in the fourth quarter, we are going to have even a better quarter, and I wish you all a great day. The audio conference is finished. Thank you all for participating, and we hope you all have a great day. Gilbert?